I love everything about Christmas, unashamedly. I like the Christmas carols and the music, well, not the stuff that gets played over and over in the radio. I love the festivity. I like the food, I'll admit that. I'm good with the food. I like just everything about Christmas, and of course, most of all, the fact that we do remember and on that day the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ as a baby. And it doesn't matter whether he was born that day or any other day, just having a day to remember him and to honour his coming into the world, I think is fabulous. But most people tend not to really understand the real meaning of Christmas. The vast majority of people that I have worked with have no, they might know some of the facts, they have no understanding generally of things, and they tend not to accept it, but they'll certainly take the holiday. Which is a little ironic, I think, and it does create a great conversation starter sometimes if you ever want to introduce a gospel message into your work life and just say, why are you having Christmas off when you don't believe in Jesus? Sometimes that can actually end a little badly, so you be careful on that one. But it's a good conversation starter. But even among Christians, there's an increasing loss of knowledge and loss of acceptance of some of the basic Christian truths. In a recent poll, in fact, this was from 2017, 15%, this is Christians, or people who say they're Christians and go to a Christian church, 15% didn't believe in the virgin birth, 11% didn't believe Jesus was laid in a manger, 16% don't believe wise men visited Jesus, and 14% don't believe an angel appeared to the shepherds. And crazy, isn't it? Just crazy that Bible-believing, church-going Christians don't always accept those things that are just stated as fact in God's Word. But I'm sure for most of us here today, Christmas is the time to think of Jesus Christ as a baby in a manger. And while we recognise that and we celebrate it, and it's good to celebrate that, it's not the most important part of the story. It isn't the primary focus. The primary focus of the Christmas story is that the child of Christmas is God. He is King Jesus, which is why, well, that way, I have that on the screen. Born is the King. How are we supposed to understand what it means for God to be born in a manger? How does one explain the Almighty stooping to become a tiny infant, and yet he did? Without forsaking his divine nature or diminishing his deity, he was born into our world as a baby. He was fully human, with all the needs and all the emotions that are common to us all. Yet he was also fully God, all-wise and all-powerful. Think of the names he was given. Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Saviour, Emmanuel, the Son of the Most High, Christ the Lord. Think of the things that he is going to accomplish when he arrives. He will save his people from their sins. He will reign from David's throne in Jerusalem, and his kingdom will never end. These are amazing, stupendous claims, if you stop and really think about them, of this baby born in Bethlehem. A few years ago, there was a program on TV, ran for several seasons, and I'd watched a few, although it sort of got a little repetitive, but it was called Undercover Boss. Anybody know it or heard about it or seen it? Right, so you know how it is. You get the boss, the CEO, or the top person in a particular company, and they go undercover, and they might disguise themselves or whatever, and they go and visit pretending to be a person looking for a job, and they work with various people in their employ to see who actually cares for their work. And sometimes they see some people who don't care for their work. And then there are others who put heart and soul into their work. And at the end, the boss usually gives rewards of some shape or form to those people who toiled hard. And in a way, that's a bit like Christmas. Jesus came down to meet with us, his creatures. Christmas shows that he cares and wants to be with us. It is the mystery of the incarnation. But that's where the analogy stops. There is more to the Christmas story than that. In fact, it's almost an opposite side of the story that we need to understand as well. You see, King Jesus didn't step outside his heavenly home in order to come to us and experience our life here, just to see what it was like. His purpose in doing so was to lead us back to his kingdom, that we might experience the delights of his life as king. In other words, it wasn't for him to experience our life that he came, but in order that we might experience his life. It was important for him to come into our world, but his reason for doing so was for us to be able to come into his world. It's one thing to have a God who is willing to come and share in our suffering. It is quite another to have a God who is able to deliver us from our suffering. It is one thing to have a God who is willing to take on our identity. It is quite another to have a God who wants to adopt us into his family. It's one thing to have a God who is willing to come to the squalor of our world, and quite another to have a God who invites us to step into the glory of his world. Jesus said in John 14, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." And as I said, the crazy thing about this is that most people aren't interested. They just aren't interested. They say, "Nah, not me. I'll think about it. Yeah, good for you. Don't tell me about it. I'm not interested." And I think of the numbers of people that I've seen who have whose lives are train wrecks, you would say, who are going through all sorts of difficulty and all sorts of problem and all sorts of stuff. Their life is almost in tatters. And yet when the opportunity for a new life is presented to them, they turn away. Not because they're not in need of help, but because they can't imagine what a life of freedom would be like. Let's go back 3,000 years. All right, time travel here. Didn't know it was possible. It is this morning. Time travel back 3,000 years. It wasn't long after Moses had led the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt before they started whinging and moaning. And I've often thought about Moses, and I thought, oh, how did you put up with that? But that's what happened. The Israelites, not long after they've left the slavery and bondage and the whips and the beatings and everything else, this is what they say in Numbers 11. It's quite a, to be honest, I think this is one of the funniest verses in all of Scripture. Numbers 11, verse 5 says, "We remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost. Also the cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic." Not the sort of people you want to be getting too close to be fair. But can you imagine, they had fish at no cost, food at no cost, and they had forgotten that they paid for it with their energy and their lives and their freedom, and they were getting whipped and beaten and just treated as slaves would be treated. And yet they wanted to go back there. They were thinking of their appetites and remembering the food of Egypt and forgetting the taskmaster's whip and the back-breaking labor. And for people today, because there's not always instant gratification, and they don't see that in the Christian message, the good news of freedom is sometimes seen almost as bad news, because they're used to living in bondage, and their current situation, even if it's a bit awful, is still safer than the unknown. The taste for leeks, onions, and garlic overcomes the distaste of the whip and the hope of something new. And maybe you're here this morning and you're thinking this message of Christmas is just not for you. You think Christmas is great and you love it all, but you just can't accept that the baby in the manger is God. And yet you are here this morning. You might think by chance. I think it's because God wants to speak to your heart. He wants to be a part of your world. He wants you to be a part of his world. If you know in your heart that you've never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, please do not leave here without talking to me or someone who you know. See, Christmas is the promise of a new kingdom. Born as the king, a king has a kingdom. The king has not only come looking for you, he invites you to be part of his family. And I want to explain very quickly two positive things that happen when Jesus becomes king in your life. The first one is that Jesus inspires hope in us. After Jesus was born, while he was still in the manger, an angel appeared to a group of shepherds, and we saw that in our first video clip. Now, at that time, shepherds were not looked on spectacularly well, or in a positive manner. They were considered unclean. They weren't even considered viable witnesses in a court of law. Whatever they said in a court of law, throw it out. Not worth listening to them. They're just shepherds. All right? The lowliest of people. But get this. They were the first people that the angel announced the birth of Jesus to. They were the first ones. What's even more interesting is that they were the shepherds. These shepherds were special. They were the keepers of the sacrificial lambs, the lambs needed for sacrifices in the synagogue. That's why it says they were in fields nearby. They had the lambs there for the sacrifices. It's important to know this because Jesus, the Lamb of God, had just been born. Jesus, the Lamb of God, had just been born, and his arrival is announced to shepherds who are looking after sacrificial lambs. Pretty amazing. How incredible are God's plans? And of course, after the angel makes the announcement, suddenly a host of angels appear and they begin praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." See, the meaning of Christmas was explained through the heavenly hosts who praised God. My paraphrased version of that is, give glory to God because the Lamb of God has been born, and to those who give him the highest place in their lives, peace will be given. This peace will be experienced on earth and in heaven because everlasting life will be the result. And if you put aside my version but actually go back to the original, you'll notice that nowhere is peace on earth promised to everybody. Peace is not promised to the entire planet. It's not a blanket statement of peace. Peace only comes to those who yield their lives to Christ and acknowledge the sacrifice he made for them. It's not to say that the entire world cannot experience peace. They can, but only when they gain God's favor through the blood of Christ. And so these shepherds, the lowliest of the low, have the first announcement of the birth of Jesus. And after the angels have left, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." Now, that's pretty amazing. If I was a shepherd, I'd be going, "What just happened? Really? Did we just see that? One angel, a host of angels, praising God. I mean, wow. I mean, I would not be quite as matter of, I'm fairly matter-of-fact, sort of unemotional kind of guy, usually. But I would have been absolutely jaw-dropped when I saw that. But they said, "Let's go and see what the angel has told us about." So their response gives us a clue as to how we can receive God's goodwill. You must take action personally, responding to the Prince of Peace. Understanding the words of the Bible and being able to argue theology is no substitute for the yielded life of one who takes action as God's servant. And so they hurried off, found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. You see, the shepherds suddenly had hope. They might still have been at the bottom of the social ladder, but they have hope. They suddenly had a purpose. They suddenly had a future. They suddenly had a spiritual king, friend, Lord. Their lifestyles might not have changed. Their circumstances might have remained the same, but they were changed within. And as they left, they no longer acted like outcast shepherds. They were changed, excited, and bold. They wanted everybody to know about the Lamb of God. It was not just the people they knew, but anybody who would listen. They told the story. So powerful was their testimony that people were amazed. Remember, this is shepherds. Go what I said. Testimony not even valued in a court of law. But people listened and were amazed. And after the shepherds left Bethlehem, the people were still praising God and glorifying his name. Christmas is not just a story about a baby born in Bethlehem. It is a story about a life-changing and people-transforming God who came to rescue lost people and give hope to a world that has a severe shortage of it. You may be facing worries and difficulties this morning. You may struggle to see purpose in your life. You may feel you have lost your way and there's no ultimate meaning. You may even have once walked closely with God, but the stresses of life have drawn you away. This morning, God is calling you. He's drawing you near to him. Christmas is the beginning of something new. It is the birth of hope. And the second good thing that happens, I said there were two. First one is that it brings hope to the world. The second one is that this kind of king, King Jesus, makes heirs of us. You see, we are not just accidental protoplasm taking up space on planet Earth. We are not nobodies. We're not even just anybodies. We are children of the King. Some years ago, in fact, many years ago, probably 30 years ago or more, Christine was going through just some struggles, and my mum came alongside her and encouraged her and said, you know, you're a princess. Christine goes, what? Says, you're a daughter of the king. That makes you a princess. And Christine has never, ever forgotten that. And when she has those moments when there are struggles in life and you lose a bit of sleep and there's just this and this and this, she thinks, I'm a princess. Ladies, you're princesses. Guys, you're princes. You are the children of the king. That makes you royalty. We are heirs with him. See, Christmas is not just a story of a king who was born. It is a story of a king who came, who ushered in a new kingdom, made us his children, called us his heirs, his children, and invites us to live and reign with him forever. We just struggle to understand how much God wants to give us. There's a story of a guy called Arnold Palmer. Anybody heard of Arnold Palmer? He's a golfer, a little bit famous, maybe a little bit famous 20 years ago, perhaps. But he was invited by the King of Saudi Arabia to play in a golfing tournament, and whenever you're a sportsman, I guess you're very competitive, but it was mostly a sort of a display type thing and just, you know, have a round of golf type thing. So after Arnold Palmer had finished this round of golf, or several rounds of golf, the King of Arabia, Saudi Arabia, wanted to reward him and give him something as a gift. And Arnold Palmer said, look, seriously, you know, I've just loved being here, it's fantastic, I don't need anything, I'm fine. King said, no, I really want to give you something. What can I give you, just to, you know, as a memento of your being here? So Arnold Palmer thought, let's have a golf club. You know, just give me a golf club, a special golf club. So that's fine. So the king said, great. And the next morning, a delivery arrived at the hotel room that Arnold Palmer was staying in, and it was the keys and ownership papers to a golf club. Thousands of acres. Bunkers, fairways, trees, water hazards, the lot. Yeah. You know, sometimes we just don't fully understand what God wants to give to us and do for us. We have such a small idea of what God wants to do with us and our world. We have lost sight of the larger gift that God wants to give us. We just want him to forgive our sins and our problems, solve our problems. But Christmas is about a whole new world that is coming. Please make sure you are part of it. No one but God could have done something like this. What a story. What a Christ. C.S. Lewis, who's quoted lots and lots of times, and this is one of his well-known ones, said, "The Son of God became a man to enable men to become the sons of God." The Son of God became a man to enable men to become the sons of God. God has done it all. That's the good news of Christmas. God has done it all. The only thing left for you and for me is to believe. God wrapped up his son in swaddling clothes and said to the whole world, "This is my Christmas gift to you." Do you believe it? Will you receive it? See, I can't prove to you that what I say is true. You must decide that for yourself. But I can say without any reservation that I have staked my entire life on the truth that Jesus is the Christ, the incomparable Son of God. Christmas matters because truth matters. And the heart of the truth is that God did not leave us alone. But in our misery, he came to visit one dark night in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. Give God the highest place in your life this Christmas. Understand firsthand what the real meaning, the real truth of Christmas is. See, just thinking about it, or just going through the motions on a Sunday morning, or having a holiday, festive time, does not make you a Christian. It requires you to take action, yielding the highest place in your life to Christ. Accept that this baby, born in a manger, came to earth to pay your debt. Receive the peace which transcends all understanding, and enter 2020 a changed person. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we've read, or had read to us, some of the story about the incarnation of your Son, and it still amazes us that your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, would come from heaven to rescue us. We are not special, we're not gifted, we're not brilliant, we're not the best people around, but you saw value in us, so much so that you wanted your Son to rescue us. And so we recognize that the baby born was not just a baby, but he was God incarnate. He is King Jesus, coming to set up his kingdom. We thank you for the invitation we've shared and heard this morning, that all who will can come into that kingdom. We thank you that when coming into that kingdom, we suddenly receive hope. Doesn't matter our situation, doesn't matter who we are, doesn't matter what we've done, we can have hope. And then we also become heirs of you. We become your sons and daughters. We come into your family. We become princes and princesses of the King. You are truly an amazing God. And in these few thoughts this morning, I do pray for all hearts here that we might have a fresh view of who you are, a fresh view of your gift to us. For any here who are away from you, whether they've known you and are just drifting in life, or whether they're still making a decision, I pray for your Holy Spirit to speak to their hearts and challenge them, convict them. May there be angels singing this morning as people come into your kingdom today. Father, we do thank you for your goodness. We thank you for how special you see us, because you are, we don't see it, but you do. And so we do thank you for your gift. In Jesus' precious name, amen.